whatever, July 30th Committee on Rules. I have a couple people that we need to get out in and get out. I'm going to open a public hearing. We're officially in subcommittee. Actually, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2490. Dr. Bates, why don't you come on up? Ms. Harris, why don't you tell us about the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2490 expands the Board of Medical Examiners to include a member who's a doctor of podiatric medicine.
Thank you. Dr. Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. For the record, I'm Senator Alan Bates, also a physician. Last night, I was thinking long and hard about this difficulty of trying to get representation on the board for podiatrists, because I think it's appropriate that when a question about a podiatry situation comes up, that the podiatrist be on the board. The board right now is made up primarily of physicians who are MDs and DOs. MDs and DOs are essentially equal in this day and age. They have the same privileges. We work shoulder to shoulder in the hospitals. Two of my partners are MDs. So when we have issues before us, it's appropriate for us both to be there. However, it's not appropriate for podiatrists to be there at that time because they are very limited in their practice to ankles and feet. On the other hand, if a podiatrist were to become a member of the board, I think having representation from a podiatrist is also appropriate. So my recommendation would be that we have a board member for the board only being a podiatrist, only when an issue concerning podiatry is actually in front of the board. Having had that thought last night, I brought it to the majority leader's office this morning, and I was handed the amendment that said exactly the same thing, which I guess great minds think together, or we all get there in the end, whichever way you want to look at it.
Okay.
So my recommendation is you move forward with your amendments to bring a podiatrist on the board on the basis of only when something is directly concerning podiatry.
Thank you, Dr. Bates, and I appreciate your testimony. I really struggled with this, and I know the podiatrist will not be happy with this compromise. I've been working on this one for days, but I think this allows them to get their foot in the door, number one.
Oh.
Thank you.
Like deals.
And number two, the other issue we had was if we add additional member to the BME, we would have 12 members on the board, and there is the distinct possibility of a number of tied votes. So I'd like to get a podiatrist working on the board if it's somewhat limited in scope, and then explore the issue of expansion of the BME next session. So any further questions for the good senator?
He's talking shoulder to shoulder.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2490, so actually a work session. I'll come back to it. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 787. Senator Starr, why don't you bring your guests up? We'd ask that you keep your testimony brief. As you're probably aware, we're trying to wrap up the session.
Madam Chair, members, this bill I brought before you previous sessions. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about Senate Bill 787. It's about compassion and fairness. Every year in Oregon, nearly 200 mothers who are eagerly anticipating the birth of their child are grievously disappointed, devastated when the child is stillborn. In just a brief moment, joy is turned to sorrow, hope is turned to despair, and plans are turned to ashes. No piece of paper, no formal recognition, no state action that we authorize can alleviate the sorrow of a mother at such a moment. But we can recognize that the child was born. Yes, a dead child, but nonetheless, a child carried by a mother, just as a child born alive was carried by a mother. The certificate of birth resulting in stillbirth would recognize all that goes into being the mother of a stillborn child in the same way the certificate of live birth recognizes all that goes into being the mother of a child born alive. Colleagues, the mother of a stillborn child deserves our compassion and deserves to be treated fairly, just as we treat the mother of a child born alive. She deserves our recognition of her efforts in carrying and bearing a child with a certificate of birth resulting in stillbirth. Please join me in showing compassion and fairness to these mothers by passing Senate Bill 787 out of the committee with a due pass recommendation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Mr. and Mrs. Lapp. Is that right? Okay. After I said, I'm like, oh no. So, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Brown and members of the committee. Thank you for taking time to allow me to testify. My name is Shauna Lapp, and I am the Oregon State Director for the National Stillbirth Society. I reside in Sherwood, Oregon. I am also the mother of a stillborn child. I'm sorry for getting emotional. I'll try not to. On June 7th,
time.
Okay. On June 7th, 2001, I attended my 39-week OB appointment, and I received another perfect pregnancy score. On June 11th, 2001, I called my OB to say that I hadn't felt the baby move and I have lower back pain. They advised me to come into the doctor's office to be checked out for labor. After waiting a half hour in the waiting room, the doctor called me back, routinely used his Doppler, but this time he couldn't find a heartbeat. He rolled in the ultrasound machine, and he couldn't see a heart beating. Then another doctor came in and confirmed the death of my baby. That day, I was admitted to the hospital. I was given medication to soften my cervix and Pitocin to speed up contractions so I could deliver my baby. June 13, 2001, a couple days after I found out my baby had died, at 4 p.m., I was finally able to start pushing. And 52 minutes later, I gave birth to an 8-pound, 13-ounce, 21-and-a-half-inch long baby girl. My name is Anna. She was perfect and beautiful, but I never heard her cry. She was long anticipated. She was waited for by many grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And instead of getting a call to come to the hospital to see a newborn baby and to welcome her, they were called to say that she had died. And instead of being able to fill out paperwork for a birth certificate, we were forced to fill out paperwork for a fetal death certificate in the hospital at the same time we were having to plan her funeral. Because at that point, when your baby dies, you don't get a lot of time in the hospital. You have to make a decision rather quickly. This is not an abortion issue. This is a stillbirth issue. They're two separate issues. And one last thing, I noticed in the proposed amendment that this is being called a commemorative certificate of stillbirth, and I'm asking you to keep it looking as close as possible to the certificate of live birth. It's okay. I'm fine with having commemorative on it. I'm fine with having the certificate of stillbirth, but if just for parents, a healing process. That's all it is. It's just a closure, a part of the grief journey. We don't get anything. We don't get the pictures, the happy pictures to send out. If we could have just a regular certificate of stillbirth, that would be great. Keep it close to looking as the real one. And I'm also asking for it to be retroactive. As a little girl, I would ask my mom, how many uncles do I have, or how many children did my grandmother have, because my mom had a big family. And that's when my mom would take the opportunity and tell me about my grandparents, who had also had a child stillborn at full term. And it's this certificate is not only just for me, it's for all the other parents, including my grandparents out there, who never got to take a baby home from the hospital, who only had to fill out the fetal death certificate. And it's for that reason that I asked the bill to be retroactive. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lapp, do you wish to add anything?
No, Chair Brown. Thank you.
All right. Any questions for this family? For Senator Starr? Thank you very much for joining us today, and we will be thinking about you.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 787? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 787.
Let's go back to the top of the list and just work our way down.
Okay. All right. We're in work session on House Bill 2070. We've got the A-10 amendments. Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2070, we heard the underlying bill in June. This is the bill that requires a school district that has a resident student with an individualized education program to contract for the admission of that student to a school in another school district if the student's program specifies that the student's needs would be better served elsewhere. What we have before us, though, is the -A-10 amendment. That amendment adds provisions relating to local gap bond levies. It allows a school district to increase property taxes for 2 years without a corresponding decrease in state school fund allowances or grants. Would apply retroactively to the 2005 fiscal year. And it amends laws that govern local budgets to allow school districts to change their budgets after July 15th to account for increased revenues and spending.
Thank you. Any questions for committee staff or anyone else?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ringo.
Does this bill contemplate that if a district wants to take advantage of that additional gap, that it will be so by a vote of the people?
No. It does not.
It does not.
It does not.
Thank you.
Further questions? All right. Chair would move the -A-10 amendments to House Bill 2070. Any discussion? Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill as amended. Okay. All right. Senator Deckert, why don't you come on forward? Chair withdraws the motion.
Well, I think it's probably too late. I talked to... What's his name?
Is this the funding formula?
No. It's on the health care costs. But okay. I talked to Senator Carter about this amendment. Okay. We had it drafted really quickly. It just deals with Portland's health care costs and encourage them. If the committee's interested, it is drafted. The council had to work really quickly. I'm Ryan Decker from Beaverton. It just deals with Portland has higher health care costs than just about any school district in the state, and so it just deals with an encouraging statement that they moved to the statewide average on health care costs. But I think we're a day late and a dollar short.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Is my face that? I know I don't have a poker face, but I didn't think it was that obvious. I appreciate you bringing this amendment. I think you raised a really important issue. We obviously tried to address the issue of health care costs when we sent over Senate Bill 639, the pooling bill. House has chosen not to act on that. I just feel like, given the lateness of the hour, that we can't move forward on this, though it's a really appropriate conversation. So thank you. Anybody else have amendments to House Bill 2070? All right. Chair would move the bill as amended with the -10 amendments to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendations. Any further discussion? Objections? Atkinson? Farioli? Motion carries. Sarah Carter, will you please carry? Sarah Carter, will you carry the bill? Okay. All right. Close the work session. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2157.
Thanks, Madam Chair. House Bill 2157C provides that an authorized agency can request a nationwide criminal records check from the Department of State Police. There were some conflicts. We were eagerly awaiting the conflict amendments, the -23s, and we have those before us today.
Hooray! Chair would move the C23, holy smokes, amendments to House Bill 2157. I don't know if Representative Cameron is in the room, but we really appreciate his hard work on this issue. Any objection to the C23 conflict amendments? Hearing, seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Patricia, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Greenhill?
Aye.
Senator
Shields?
Aye. Vice Chair Ferriero?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Who'd like to carry? Sarah Shields, you want to do that one? If you don't, I'll give it to someone else. Sarah Ringo.
My name down.
Okay. All right, let's open a work session on House Bill 2316. This is the bill that we're gutting and stuffing. Ms. Mowad. Okay, you could just sit right there if you want. That would be great. Okay. Ms. Mowad, why don't you tell us about the amendments, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The -A3 amendments would replace the bill and extend the statute of limitations for certain felonies based upon the victim's age. Specifically, these felonies are sex offenses, and the current law allows when a victim is under the age of 18 at the time of the crime, anytime that the statute of limitations or a case may be brought any time before the victim attains 24 years of age or within 6 years after the offense is reported to a law enforcement agency. This bill would increase that to the victim attaining 30 years of age or within 12 years after the offense is reported.
Okay. Holy smokes. Thank you. Questions for Ms. Mowad? The issue was raised about the perpetrator being over the age of 18 to avoid the problem that Mr. Hummel suggested has happening currently in Deschutes County. The sponsor of the bill was not excited about having that conversation, and given the fact that we are trying to go home, didn't want to address that issue any further at this point in time. Any questions for Ms. Mowad? Chair would move the -A3 amendments. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill to Senate floor. Move the bill as amended to Senate floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Who'd like to carry? Okay. Thank you, Sarah Atkinson. We appreciate you volunteering. In terms of the underlying bill on House Bill 2316, folks raised some really good concerns. I understand that you appreciated, supported the underlying bill. I really feel like this issue needs to be addressed. It overrules an Oregon Supreme Court case. I feel like this needs to be addressed by the co-chairs of the Judiciary Committee during the interim. So anticipate they will be taking a look at that issue. Thank you, Ms. Mowad. Should we just go to your next one?
If you want
to. We can do that. Let's open a work session on House Bill 3469.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, you have before you the -A4 amendments. They incorporate the other amendments that we have already discussed in the committee, but they add to it that it would a person who has written approval, is a predatory sex offender and has written approval from the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision or their supervisory authority or supervising officer to be in or upon the specific premises, then they do not commit the crime of being in a location where being in a location where persons under 18 years of age regularly congregate. I have reviewed the content of this amendment with Mr. Hummel from OCDLA, Mr. Fidanki and Ms. Meyer from ACLU, and they support the amendment or have no opposition to the amendment. It's probably a better way of putting it.
I think that's a very accurate way to put it. Any questions for Ms. Mowad?
Madam Chair.
Senator Ringo.
She said they don't have opposition to the amendments. That's to say they don't have opposition to the bill as amended?
Senator Ringo and members of the committee, I would say that that would not necessarily capture their feelings on the bill. I know that neither organization is planning on writing a floor letter. That's about all I can say.
I think we tried to address both OCLA and ACLU's concerns. To ask them to actually support the bill, Senator Ringo, might be asking too much of them, even at this point in time.
Well, I'm just inquiring as to their position, Madam Chair.
Were committee staff's accurate assessment of your opinions accurate?
Chair Brown, members of the committee,
Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association doesn't generally support adding new crimes. It's a policy decision whether this committee and this body wants to create a crime of when a predatory sex offender is in an area where children are. If the policy decision is to make such an act a crime, we think this law is properly drafted and has taken our concerns into consideration.
Andrew Meyer, ACLU, couldn't say it better. Same position.
Thank you.
Let's see, can I move the amendments?
Chair would move the dash A4 amendments to House Bill 3469. Is that right?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Ms. Moad, right number? Okay. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill as amended to the Senate floor of the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I'm going to let Senator Burdick carry this bill. If you all don't have any objections, since you're not screaming to carry bills anyway.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bowen. We appreciate
you
making a cameo appearance today.
Thank you, members of the committee.
We all wish we could leave this place.
No, it's just food.
Sorry. I wish you could, too.
Well, if you continue behaving, Senator Shields, the pain won't be take too long. All right. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2327. Ms. Harris?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the bill that establishes a policy of state funding for fire protection. We have a dash B4 amendment before us. The amendment addresses a situation where a private property owner is ordered to not put out a fire that is burning on the private property owner's own property.
This was brought to us by Christina McNitt, Small Woodlands Association.
Yes.
It's my understanding that the environmental community has no objection to the amendment. Any further discussion? Chair would move the bill, move the dash B4 amendments to the, would move to amend the bill. Any discussion? Any objection to amending the bill? Hearing, seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Patricia, would you please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
Aye.
Senator Mingo?
No.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli?
Aye.
Chair Brown?
Chair votes aye. Senator Ferrioli, would you be willing to carry?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. All right. All right, let's go to House Bill 2490, which is the podiatric medicine, add the doctor of podiatric medicine to the Board of Medical Examiners.
What's a podiatric?
I think that's the correct pronunciation.
Condominiumized.
Chair would move the dash 5 amendments. Any further any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Who would like to carry?
Oh, what the heck?
Okay. You missed my pun.
I'm trying not to cut your foot, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Shields.
Yeah. Yours was better, Madam.
Mine was better.
Yeah, I know.
But I was working on it for several days. All right. Thank you. Okay. House Bill 3184, Ms. Harris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3184 allows an education service district to provide entrepreneurial services and facilities to public and private entities and to school districts that are not component school districts.
And
we have an amendment for us, the dash A6 amendment.
We have a number of amendments. The chair would like to move the dash A6 amendments. The earlier amendment that we heard a couple of days ago addressed the consolidation issue. The A6 amendments deals with the funding formula. I think it's fair to say that we have not passed this proposal. We'd already passed Senate Bill 765. So Chair would move the dash A6 amendments to House Bill 3184. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. I'm going to let Senator Devlin carry this bill so that we can learn about the intricacies of the school funding formula for ESDs. Did I say Deckert?
Devlin.
I meant Devlin. Okay. All right. I did 3469. All right. Is Sarah Nelson in the room? Oh. Did you just come in? I'm so sorry. So you're enjoying it. All right. Let's open up a work session for Senate Bill 1094. Sarah Nelson, why don't you come forward?
Chair, my name is David Nelson, State Senator from Pendleton. 1094 is defined as the Morrill County Speedway. We've worked very closely with the Department of Land Conservation, Department of Transportation, and Department of Water Resources. We have come to an agreed amendment, the Dash 1 amendments. We're following the Morrill County findings of facts, basically limiting it very closely to the exception that they came up with under the land use laws. One of the major concerns was what was going to happen with the development of traffic responsibility on page 3 of the amendment, line 15, section 3. The private developer becomes responsible. The Land Conservation Commission is neutral on this bill, has worked very hard to make it workable, and Friends of Oregon are in the same position. Department of Transportation is supportive as long as they have that provision. Pays for the money, the infrastructure. And there's nothing in the bill, unfortunately, for Senator Atkinson and Senator Ringel to take the first lap around.
That's the Dash 2s I'm looking for.
I don't think they're here yet, Senator Atkinson.
Madam Chair, can we put this on, since everybody puts everything on the record in the Rules Committee, could we put on the record that Senator Atkinson and Senator Ringel get the first lap?
That's fine by me. Yeah.
That's good.
For the record.
For the record.
I think this bill is sort of baseball-esque. I'm hoping that its chances are better.
I hope so, too.
In the baseball? Oh, this is a much better bill than the baseball.
Well, I understand that, but in terms of, I see this as an opportunity, and it's a long shot, but let's give it a shot.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ringel.
It's an opportunity that's depending entirely on private investment.
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a big difference in the baseball bill.
Well, we can argue baseball, but if we do, we'll be here all evening.
There's going to be monster trucks.
I'd move the Dash 1 amendments.
Oh, God.
I'd move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 1094.
Because it's monster trucks. You're in. I'm in.
Any discussion that's relevant to the bill? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation. Discussion?
Oh.
Any objections?
It's on the record.
All right. So ordered. Sarah Nelson, this is your baby to carry on the Senate floor.
Thank you.
Giddy up.
Don't get run down on your way to carry on the floor.
Yippee-ki-yay.
All right. Next. Okay. We're waiting on 787 amendments to make it retroactive. My other thought is...
Podiatric condominiums.
To a small C instead of big C. All right. Let's open a work session on House Bill 2169. Ms. Harris, would you please refresh our recollection?
Sure, Madam Chair. I'd be happy to. House Bill 2169, this is the bill that modifies the definition of a voting machine, allows the Secretary of State to revoke approval of voting machines or tally systems if they don't comply, essentially with HAVA, the Health America Act.
Thank you. We heard this bill many moons ago, as I recall.
Yes.
Anybody wishing to testify on this bill? Okay. Mr. Cornett, do you want to come up? Okay.
We don't have any amendments.
No amendments. Why do we need this bill?
Thanks.
No.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Jesse Cornett. I'm the legislative liaison for the Secretary of State with Dorinda Bays, who is a manager in our elections division. I am passing out right now, or it should be passed out right now, a section-by-section summary. What this bill does, for the most part, is make changes such as redefining ballot for the use of electronic voting equipment so disabled voters can vote legally and independently in the state of Oregon. It passed out of the House in March by a vote of 58 to nothing, passed out of this committee as a component of House Bill 2167 weeks and weeks ago, again, without opposition. If there are any further questions on this this measure, we'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Questions? I think we were. All right.
All right.
I think you're off the record, off the hook today.
Thank you.
All right. And no amendments, right? Chair would move the bill to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing, seeing none? So ordered. Who'd like to carry? All right, I'll carry. You want to carry it? Okay. Thank you, Senator Rioli. All right. Let's go to work session on House Bill 3474.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The underlying bill in House Bill 3474 has to do with regulations concerning the use of real property owned by religious organizations. We have a series of amendments before us, all dealing with, essentially dealing with exemptions to Measure 37. The most recent amendment is the -A7. All of these amendments replace the measure and add provisions, again, dealing with exemptions to ballot measure 37.
Okay. Mr. Conkling, did you want to come up and talk to us? Ms. Koba. Somebody come talk to us.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. Basically, what this bill does is take a number of measures that we have the authority to implement, such as establishing control districts, quarantines, embargoes, and also includes right-to-farm legislation as well as forest pest management legislation, and clearly exempts these from Measure 37. This really came to our attention as we were dealing with a biofuels issue and the growing of canola in the Willamette Valley. It's caused some concerns among the specialty seed industry here in the valley, and they came to us and asked us to establish a control district whereby we would limit where you could actually grow canola, and we have the authority to do that. We're in the process of going through a public hearing right now. The concern was if these authorities that we have were not clearly exempted from Measure 37, that someone who wanted to grow canola in an area where we had a control district to not grow canola could file a Measure 37 claim. We believe all the parties that have an interest in this topic area and the proponents of Measure 37 are fine with these amendments.
Thank you, Ms. Koba. Any questions for Ms. Koba? Senator Shields.
You said right to farm, and I'm not smart enough to know exactly what you meant when you made that reference.
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, in the statute there are protections for farmers such as from complaints from neighbors due to noise, dust, odor, activities that occur due to farming, and some people, if they move into a farm operation, find these to be a nuisance. There are statutes that protect farmers from nuisance-type complaints.
And so this would exempt them from 37 claims, as people would want it.
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, if someone moved in next to a farm, a winery, for example, and sometimes they'll use cannons to try to keep birds away, and they wanted to file a claim that the value of their property was reduced because of this nuisance noise, they could not do that.
All right. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other questions for Ms. Koba? Thank you very much. Mr. Honeycutt? Anybody else for the record? Just want to come up?
Not really, but
I know you don't want to come up. I'm asking you to come up.
Madam Chair,
members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action. I've looked at these things thoroughly. I'll look at them again tonight. I think they're harmless. I don't support the bill. Don't oppose the bill. A bill, it's a bill, and I'm staying out of the way.
Thank you.
In other words, he's not here. So why'd you call him up?
Because I just wanted to. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 3474? All right, I'm going to close the work session. Let's open a work session. Oops, it is 5 o'clock. open a work session on 2450.
Madam Chair, move the House Bill 2450 to the floor with a D-pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Farioli, but the Chair won't recognize your motion. as many of you may recall, this is the Speaker's Stability Fund. We have been having some conversations as we're trying to close the session down about some key pieces that we need in order to make everyone happy. The Speaker graciously volunteered her bill as a vehicle for the school funding formula. So the Chair is focusing on the... Where are you going, Senator Shields? Oh, you're not going in. Okay, that's fine. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. No, I don't need any water. So we're focusing on the Dash B16 amendments. Anybody in the audience wishing to make any comments about the B16 amendments? Not a soul. Does anybody have any questions about the B16 amendments?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Senator Farioli.
So we know what we're doing. Could we just gloss the B16?
Yes, I could do that too.
What do you mean?
Just have,
Sure.
I was really counting on one of the more knowledgeable members of the education community.
That would make us feel better, no offense, Mr.
And
Marshall.
My summary. Well.
Madam Chair, my question, and maybe Mr. Marshall can answer this, is do we have a run on how this is with the B16 amendments?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. John Marshall, representing the Oregon School Boards Association. I have not seen a computer simulation, so I'm not aware of one. As some background, Madam Chair, 2 years ago, the legislature enacted a bill that made changes to the state school fund distribution formula and added two components. One was the small school district supplement fund that was based on some interim work that showed that small school districts, particularly small school districts trying to operate small high schools, were having particular difficulty. The funding formula was modified to send out of the funding formula $2.5 million a year to assist small school districts. They're defined in the bill as those with less than 8,500 weighted students operating a high school of under 350 students. The other component was called the High Cost Disabilities Grant. And this is like an insurance policy for school districts where every school district pays into this fund, which sends $12 million a year into the High Cost Disabilities Grant. And then that fund is used to assist school districts with low incidence, high cost students with disabilities. And those are students, as the bill is amended, of over $30,000. So to carry the insurance policy analogy a little bit further, every school district has a $30,000 deductible, and then any amount that they spend on those students over $30,000, they're entitled to a reimbursement. And that's the use of those funds. The two components were packaged 2 years ago in tandem so that the High Cost Disabilities Grant generally helps larger, more urban school districts because that's generally where the families of students with these high cost disabilities tend to reside because there are other programs, medical facilities, and so forth. And that was balanced against an attempt to try to help small school districts operate small high schools. That bill that passed 2 years ago was sunsetted on June 30, and we introduced a bill to make those two funding formula components permanent. And that's what the amendments before you do. And I'd be pleased to respond to any questions if you have any beyond what I've shared.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall, for that illuminating testimony.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Senator Ringo?
Well, the question I asked is, do we have it run?
We don't have it run.
That's where you did answer that question.
I think what we tried to do here was to continue what we did last session, essentially, and not create any new winners or any new losers.
Well,
so.
Madam Chair, I know that, at least I believe, that the Beaverton School District is a loser under this. I'm not sure how Portland fares.
Portland.
What's that?
Portland does okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... I mean, just as a comment, I guess, the policy of supporting small schools is great if you're a small school. There's a lot of people that think we need school consolidation, and the more we subsidize small districts, the harder that's going to be. But.
Anybody have any further questions? Chair would move the dash six B16 amendments to House Bill 2450. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair would move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
None, sir.
Senator Ringo.
I will be a no.
Any further objections? Hearing seeing none. So ordered. We're going to have Senator Deckert carry the bill. Thank you. We're going to hold 3474 until Monday. I'd like to take just a five-minute, literally a five-minute recess and take a look at some of the issues on Senate Bill 787. Is there anything further that we have besides that bill and a potential drafting issue? Okay. All right, let's take a five-minute recess, go off the record. Senate Bill 787 needs a brief amendment. Legislative Council will be working on it first thing Monday. We'll bring Senate Bill 787 back on Monday as quickly as possible.
Bill drafting,
I know. That's what I would just wait.
Is Charlie out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie, you're needed. Hey, Charlie, you're needed.
We're going to set 787 over until Monday.
Charlie's in the room.
Back on the record. Chair would move into bill introductions and drafting requests. Move drafting and introduction of a bill regarding judges. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Any further business to come before the committee? We'll see you all on Monday. Thank you very much. Staff, you did an amazing job today.